Have you ever shared devastating news only to hear everything happens for a reason or just stay positive? These well-intentioned responses often leave us feeling more isolated than before. This is toxic positivity, the excessive overgeneralization of a happy state that minimizes authentic human emotion. While genuine positive emotions like gratitude can improve health outcomes, trouble begins when we construct the idea that being positive means seeing good in everything, becoming emotional robots who never acknowledge pain. When someone responds to your crisis with toxic positivity, they're not necessarily being malicious. The problem is timing. When you're processing difficult emotions, platitudes shut down that necessary process, creating what I call the positivity shame spiral. We get mad at ourselves for having feelings, tell ourselves we shouldn't feel them, then get frustrated when forced positivity doesn't transform our mood. Like Dave, a client in treatment who maintained he was just a happy guy despite serious alcohol problems and no close relationships, toxic positivity often functions as denial, preventing us from processing emotions and making meaningful change. The language of positivity lacks nuance and compassion, telling people how they should feel rather than validating how they actually feel. Effective support depends on timing, audience, and context, not on finding the perfect positive spin. Suppressing emotions, the core of toxic positivity, has devastating effects. Research shows it decreases emotional awareness by 40% and impairs processing of complex feelings. Physically, it raises blood pressure and cortisol levels by 30%, weakens immune function by 15%, and increases risks of diabetes and heart disease. The good vibes only mentality damages relationships by preventing vulnerability and true intimacy. Studies reveal that couples who accept both positive and negative emotions maintain relationships 35% longer than those who practice suppression. Societally, forced positivity becomes a tool that diminishes marginalized groups' experiences by shifting focus from systemic issues to individual attitude. This appears in workplaces where employees face pressure to stay positive about unfair conditions. Common invalidating phrases include, "Life will never give you more than you can handle," "Just be happy," "At least it's not," and "Your attitude is everything." All of which dismiss complex emotional realities and ignore systemic barriers and privilege. People like Tori get trapped in positivity culture's endless cycle, pursuing happiness through gratitude lists, affirmations, and self-help books. When these methods fail, they blame themselves and double down, buying more books or following new gurus promising breakthroughs. Positive thinking's appeal lies in its promise of control. The formula, change your thoughts, change your life, soothes our fear of uncertainty. Law of Attraction adherents believe they've cracked the universe's code, claiming enough positivity can control everything from illness to natural disasters. This mindset takes root in childhood, where children learn certain emotions are unacceptable and positive people are the best people. It pervades workplaces where criticism becomes negative thinking and optimism becomes crucial for advancement. Manifestation theory claims controlled thoughts and feelings attract desired outcomes. This contradicts psychological research by ignoring crucial elements: obstacle planning, realistic self-assessment, and concrete action plans. Worse, it suggests misfortune only strikes those with negative mindsets, blaming victims while overlooking systemic factors and real limitations. Toxic positivity is especially harmful when empathy is needed. Annie, after multiple miscarriages, heard empty phrases like, "The baby you're meant to have will come," and "Everything happens for a reason." These platitudes only deepened her isolation. What helped was having her pain acknowledged, being listened to without solutions, and receiving practical support. The Fernandez family, grieving their 23-year-old son, encountered hurtful spiritual platitudes like, "It was God's plan," and "They're in a better place." The father couldn't accept losing his child as divine will, while the mother rejected the idea that anywhere was better than with family. What grieving people truly need are simple acknowledgments, ongoing check-ins, and judgment-free listening. Michael, a transgender male with chronic health conditions, faces dismissive responses like, "Look at all you can do," and "You need a good attitude to beat this." Such statements wrongly imply that positive thinking alone determines health outcomes. Instead, chronically ill people need to hear, "I believe you, you know your body best," and receive validation, along with consistent support regardless of outcomes.
We often use toxic positivity against ourselves with thoughts like, "I should be over this," or "others have it worse." This self-directed negativity stops us from exploring our emotions, creates shame, discourages seeking support, and intensifies the very feelings we're trying to suppress. Traditional positive affirmations can backfire, especially for those with lower self-esteem. When struggling, statements like, "I love myself," can feel dishonest and make us feel worse. Research shows affirmations work better for those with higher self-esteem, but may harm those who don't believe the words. Effective affirmations must be truthful, achievable, aligned with your values, supported by action, and empowering rather than masking difficult feelings. The goal isn't constant positivity, but accepting all emotions with self-compassion. There are no truly negative emotions, only those that cause more distress for certain people. Negative feelings like sadness, anger, and fear serve vital purposes. They help identify what matters, recognize danger, set boundaries, and build resilience. Avoiding these emotions only creates more suffering. Emotions are physiological experiences that inform us about our world, while feelings represent our conscious awareness of them. Many people experience emotions without truly feeling them due to denial and suppression. Emotional experiences combine physical changes, thought shifts, and behavioral responses. Our thoughts both interpret bodily sensations and trigger emotional responses. The brain processes real and imagined threats similarly. While emotional suppression can provide temporary relief, it's damaging long-term. Common avoidance tactics like eating, substances, distractions, or positive affirmations aren't inherently harmful, but become problematic when used to consistently avoid emotions. Naming emotions reduces activity in the amygdala, the brain's emotional distress center. This process begins with body awareness, scanning for sensations, and observing tension without judgment. Processing emotions requires allowing them to flow naturally through practices like crying, confiding in others, creative expression, or simply sitting with feelings without acting on them.
Life is tough, but we can make room for both happiness and pain. Paradoxically, fulfillment begins when we stop obsessively pursuing happiness. Despite massive investments in finding happiness, American contentment levels haven't changed significantly since 1972, and the internet's 480 million secrets to happiness only offer conflicting advice. A value-driven life differs fundamentally from a happiness-driven one. While happiness-seeking avoids negativity, value-driven living embraces what matters most, even when uncomfortable. It prioritizes deeper connections, uses pain as guidance, and accepts that struggle and joy naturally coexist. You don't need to constantly pursue self-improvement. Your best self emerges through authentic living, making mistakes, and seeking help when needed. By abandoning the predetermined happiness path, we access the full spectrum of human experience. There's no final destination. The journey itself, with all its complexity, makes life meaningful.